be the glory for great things he hath done. Turn with me in your Bible to book of Luke. Aren't you glad? Book of Luke chapter 15. Book of Luke chapter 15. And the reason I'm sharing this message to you today, back home in India, we've been studying from Book of Luke chapter 15 for 6 months. Seriously, chapter 15 just for 6 months. And I got in the flight yesterday, and I says, man, how can I put 6 months of teaching of Luke chapter 15 in 30 minutes? You know, I love it. They give you 30 minutes to raise the dead. I'm just kidding. I just want to see if you're awake. Luke chapter 15 is a story that Jesus responds to the criticism of the Pharisees. Why does he like the sinners? He's been questioned all along. Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Jesus responds to these Pharisees by giving them three parables. If you have a paper and a pen, I encourage you to just write this. There's a parable of the lost sheep. Okay? 99, the shepherd leaves, and he goes after one to rescue that one sheep. Growing up in a Christian home, all my life I heard that if you bring the Jesus went to save the backslidden sheep. He went to go to the sheep who was once in the flock, and he left because of his unbelief and he went astray. That's the way I've been taught. But that's not Scripture. Scripture is, he does not go to get the one sheep and make it back to 100 again. That was not the story. The story is, he goes seeking after that one sheep and he tells them, heaven rejoices over this one that repenteth, not over the 99 that does not need repentance. The most people that go to church is no guarantee that we'll be in heaven. The only way you can be assured that you'll be in heaven, if you have repented, confessed, and asked Jesus to come and be the Lord of your life. Not by attending the church. So he brings that one and he tells the 99, heaven rejoices over this. Then there's the lost coin. Now, I'm going to have somebody respond. Some of the people told me yesterday, don't call on me to answer the questions. I'm not going to call on anybody. The only few people who are not supposed to participate in this, first is Pastor John, and then the deacons and the elders. All the others get to participate because this is going to be a Bible study. There's a rejoicing in heaven when one lost sheep is found. Sheep has no soul. So, is that movie correct? All dogs go to heaven? All right. There is a lost coin that was found. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels. But when the prodigal son is found, he's come back home. There is no rejoicing in heaven, and there is no rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Why? This is a Bible study. Thank you for asking the question. Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. Just because I studied the book of Luke chapter 15 doesn't mean you studied Luke 15 this morning. So don't make me look like I'm one know-it-all. If you ask me something, book of Psalms 91, I would not be able to answer the question because I didn't study Psalms 91. So the reason there's rejoicing in heaven for the lost sheep represents believers. There's rejoicing in the lost coin. Coin has no life, but it has the seal of the emperor. There are many people in this world who have the seal of the Prince of Peace, Prince of the Air. Now, if you're a believer, believe in the church planting, we are to go and look after those people who have been sealed by Satan. Bring them under the blood covenant of Christ. There's no rejoicing when the prodigal son comes home. The reason for that is the father is right there at home to welcome him. Now, from this story of the prodigal son, I like to share a few things about him. When he was in the pig's pen, did you know both brothers were in pig's pen? One was in the pig's pen of rebellion. The other one was in the pig pen of resentment. And I love, by the way, if there's something you need to get from this message, I'm here to brag about Christ. That's it. So help me to get there. Okay, if you're not, I may miss my flight. I love Dwayne. Take your time. He knows my flight's at 3 o'clock. Thank you for the word of encouragement. I got to catch a flight. Anyway, here's prodigal son in the pig's pen. He's saying to himself, I'll go to my father and I'll tell him I have sinned before God and I've sinned before you, comma. I will be honored if you give me the position of a servant in your house. So he practices that. He practices that. He practices that. And I love God. The moment he sees his father, he utters the same words. He says, Father, I have sinned before God and I have sinned before you. The father did not let him finish the rehearsal. Amen. He did not let him say, if I would be just made the servant of your house, I'll be honored. That's the beauty of Father. Father does not look through the eyes of telescope. He looks through the eyes of tears. He embraces him. Is that the message today? Oh, no. By the way, who's messed up? The prodigal son? Or the brother? Or is it the father? Come on, help me. Guy, help me. Which brother? One at home. Okay. So the father's okay? His father's fine? All right. I have two boys. They were for sale till they decided to go to college. Most of you know what I mean. So don't give up. They get around it. So can you imagine I take my sons to Apple Store and the new Apple iPhone's coming out September 9th, in case you didn't know. So September 9th, a new phone comes in, and I take both of my sons. And I said, Tim, pick up the one you want. He picks the 16 gig gray color phone. And I pull out my credit card, and here's my older son. He kind of looks sad. I said, son, is everything okay? No response. I know what's going on through his mind. Where's my phone? So let me be the prodigal son's father. Oh, let me put my hand around Steve. Steve, you don't need the phone. You're always with me. Now who's messed up? The father, the older brother, or the younger brother? All three? No. Do you think my son will love me if I just told him? Just everything is fine. You know, I'm with you all the time, buddy. Let me give you a little encouragement. When Pharaoh was going to get the message from Moses, Moses asked a question to the Lord. He says, who is it that has sent me? He says, go and tell him, I am that I am. Then he goes on to say, do not be afraid, I am with you. Let's not forget the emphasis on those two words, with me. You know, I love Christians, they pray like this. Lord, be with us. Please grow up. He's with us all the time. Some of us need to be educated how to pray. Lord, now you know we are standing here. Seriously? Why don't you do this? Let's play a little trick with God. Pray this prayer in the parking lot of the Walmart and pretend that you are the Wellspring Church. And Lord, now you know we are the Wellspring Church, and see if he can figure you out. See if his GPS is working. Here's the older brother. The message this morning to everybody, including me, we need to be careful of bitterness. Bitterness is a curse. The problem with the older brother, he was full of bitterness. Luke chapter 15. If you're writing the message, the text is from 25 through 32. By the way, if you're a student of the Bible, in those days, if you're the younger son, you get one-third of father's position. You get two-thirds if you're the older son. But if you have sisters, you have to, of course, share the inheritance as per the numbers of the family, but the older son will always get the most. So the older son knew that. Now, if you understand this, how many of you would love to hear your children say to you, "Hey, Dad, when are you going to die?" Especially when you told them, "Hey, boys, just pray. I just got a $1 million insurance policy. The day I die, you will get them." And one of them asked, "When?" Don't you love to have those kids and offer them donuts after that question? In this story, both the boys wanted their father dead. The younger one said, "Give me the inheritance. Inheritance can be only given when the father is dead." The older one wanted the inheritance too. So now let's look. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15, verse 25. "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came home and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing." Friends, there are two ways to be lost. One way is to break the rules and do as you please. The second way to be lost is keep all the rules and seek to be good. Both are lost. Younger son went to the prostitute according to the older brother. But the older brother, now let me say this. If you have two boys, one goes to the prostitute. By the way, the Bible does not say the prodigal son went to the prostitute. It was the older brother who is telling his dad, "He went to the prostitute," because the Bible says those who go to them will not inherit the kingdom. Now, if you have a son who went to the prostitute and you have a son who is a murderer, who will spend life in prison? The older brother. The Bible says if you hate your own brother, you're a murderer. So which one is the good one? The older brother or the younger brother? Many people lift themselves up by making others look bad. Do you know people like that? Well, older brother was one. The question I like to ask the believers this morning, are we called in the ministry to restore the brother or reject the brother? We need to ask that question. Who are we to reject anyone? So that's why we need to understand, I want to see the reaction of the older brother to the action of his younger brother. Older brother was filled with grief, not grace. The curse of bitterness, verse 28. And he was angry. Bitterness destroys happiness. Today, people in our churches are not happy because the root of bitterness has not been taken away. It takes the joy out. People ask me, "Do you believe in losing salvation?" I said, "Yes. It depends who saved you." But I do believe this. If you're a saved person, you can lose the joy of salvation. Now see, my son, he can disobey me. He can do drugs. He can do things that displeases me. That does not spoil my relationship with him. It spoils my fellowship with him. Here's the older brother. He's unhappy. He's angry. Don't you love to have a father who is so happy in verse 23? My son has come home. And here's the older brother who is just sad. You know, I love to let some people have some cheese to go with their wine. Just wine. They just complain. I hate to be around whiners. I don't know if Pastor John has this problem, but back home when I pastored church, we had three kind of members. Shiners, whiners, and recliners. Well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can come and talk to me afterwards. Bitterness destroys not only happiness, it destroys usefulness. Satan loves to keep the people of God bitter. And when you're bitter, guess what happens? You refuse to go in and help the Father. Bitterness will keep you outside. You know, some people just love to have attention. The smallest violin in the world. You want to hear it? I am sad. God has not blessed me like He's blessed Dwayne. I'm not as a good speaker as Brother John. This is the small violin. That's what the older brother was playing. He was sitting on the stool of doing nothing. I do not like believers spending time with people who are saddest. Sometimes, you know what I say to sad people? Get over it. Seriously. Some people just love to just suck the life out of you. Sometimes as a leader, I'm telling you, I'm too afraid to even ask a question, how are you doing? Because there comes a load of throw up. Here's this brother standing outside complaining. He refuses to go inside. Bitterness destroys unity. Look at verse 30. This thy son. That's how I know the older brother was redneck. He did not even say, my brother has come home. He didn't say that. Bitterness will make us feel we are foreigners even in the same family. He's telling the father, your son has come home. Seriously? He's your brother? Friends, bitterness is killing churches today. It's killing Sunday schools. It's killing witnesses. Because some silly things. Guess what the silly things is? Oh, I don't like Wellspring because they misspelled my name in the bulletin. You should be worried about misspelling your name in the book of life. Well, I don't like to. Did you notice? You know, some people, I've never been to this church. It was First Baptist Kenner. This lady says, do you see those flowers? Do you like them? I never been to that church till that day. I said, yeah, they're fine. No, they're not good. The ones I used to put, they were the best. And I said, why don't you put them? He says, because the pastor stopped recognizing it. Oh, don't you love that reason to worship God? By the way, if I'm on stepping on some toes, no apologies. I like to aim at your heart through God's word. The curse of bitterness, and there's the cause of bitterness. Look at verse 29, the cause. He answered and said unto his father, lo, these many days, please underline that word in your Bible, I serve thee. I at any time followed your commandment. I never disobeyed you. You never gave me. I might celebrate. Do you see the problem? That's the cause of bitterness when you focus on I, me, myself. Pride can never rejoice when others are blessed. Verse 29. You never gave me a goat. You know, the whole story is about the goat. I love the illustration from 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 5 through 7. It's King Ahab who desires for Naboth's vineyard. Jezebel tells King Ahab, why are you worried about the vineyard when the whole empire's been given to you? Hello? I hope I'm speaking in English. We are so mad at God because He has not given us the iPod touch. We are so mad at God because we don't have an extra vehicle. We are so mad at God that we don't have the new iPad. It's interesting. That's the same problem we have in churches today. We measure God the way He blesses us. By the way, let me encourage you, the story is not about the two boys. The story is about the father. Many people focus so much on the boys, they forget the father. These many years I have served you. Does that sound the words of a son? Or does it sound the words of a slave? It sounds the words of slave. All these years I've been teaching Sunday school in this church. All these years I've been driving the bus to pick the children for Sunday school. All these years I've been the one who put the chairs in row. All these years, believers of Wellspring, let me ask you this question on the basis of the Word of God. Do you want God to give you what you deserve? Thank you very much. That's what this older brother was doing. I want you to give me what I deserve. Let me tell you what Samuel Thomas deserves. It's H-E-L-L. I don't deserve to be in this nice church. I don't deserve to be in the work of the Lord. It is His grace that gives me the honor to serve Him. So we need to get this out of our mind that we have some right. You teach people their rights, you will have a revolution. You teach people responsibility, you will experience revival. These many years I have served you. Disobedience sometimes seems to be rewarded, and obedience seems to be unrecognized. Don't think. God is not deaf. He's not blind. He knows what we are doing for Him. We have studied about the curse of bitterness. We studied about the cause of bitterness. And let me come to conclusion. The cure for bitterness. And this is my best part. When the son is sitting outside, father goes to him. Let me tell you, I get goosebumps. He did not send the angels. He did not send the director of missions. He did not send the director of ushers. He went. Entreated him. He says, son, come. Oh, that's the beauty of Luke chapter 15. Father knows his son is grumpy. He still goes and begs him. And here's the son. I don't want to go inside. You never gave me a kid so I could rejoice with my friends. In other words, he too wanted to leave the father over having friendship and fellowship with his friends. That would hurt the heart of a father. But he still tells him, son, you're with me always. Father spoke words of provision. All that is mine is yours. Christians, some of us are complaining about things that really doesn't matter about eternity. Some of us are just worrying about, will we get the new gadget? When the Father in heaven is telling you, all that is mine is yours. But we still want to hold on to that grief and bitterness in our heart. You know, have you seen some people when the Super Bowl, after the Super Bowl night, next Sunday, they look sad. Really do. You know, I got good news for you. Get over it. Who was that guy who inflated the football? Right. Don't you think we're going to be asked that question when we get to heaven, who did that? Really, it's important. Friends, pettiness, bitterness helps us to focus on things that are little, not eternal. We worry about few things when God has blessed you beyond measure. All that I have is yours. I love my Lord. He withholds no blessing from those who seek after Him. As I conclude this morning, Father rejoices in finding and saving the lost. The purpose of God is not to satisfy the grumpy believers. The purpose of God is to see souls come to Christ. My Jesus does not waste His energy to uplift the grumpiness in you. He does not. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Let me paraphrase that verse. Rejoice in the Lord, again I say. Let me help you understand that. Just imagine me and my older son. Rejoice in the Lord. Again I say rejoice. You get it? Wake up. Christians, we need to understand how we have been blessed by the Lord. Instead of sitting outside like the older brother and saying, oh, I don't want to come inside. I have worked for you. I have obeyed you. I have done this. All this brownie points. Savior is not looking for that. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by faith that works. The work that I'm doing for the Lord is a result of me accepting Him as my Savior. It's not some brownie points I'm trying to gather up. I know I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I ask God to forgive me. Save me in 1979. And He was faithful to do it. I don't tell Him, Lord, please look at my list and give to me according to what I deserve. Let me give you a word of encouragement. He has enough on each one of us to bury us. If you feel like you're some mighty warrior of Christian life, God knows enough thing about you. Thank God He does not expose them. You know what He does? He comes outside the house, begs the son, please come. You know, the Bible never tells us the older brother went inside. People of America, God's given you the privilege to listen His good news through the radio. He's given the good news through the television. He's given you good news through the churches. He has given you good news in your high schools. He has given you good news through your youth group. But if you harden your heart, the Bible does not say He stays outside the house. He'll come, He'll do His part. He'll entreat you. He will draw you close to Him. But if you don't want to come, He still goes inside and rejoices with the son that came home. As I close, I have to share this, then I'm done. G.S. Mung, one of the Burmese students, came to our Bible college. And he said to my father, I want to pray and I want to study. That's the only English phrases he knew. My father took him as a disciple of his. He said, come, son, we'll pray every day. And father would spend time with him in prayer. I was the dean of the Bible college. This boy never passed any test. You ready? None. So I said to dad, he has to repeat first year again. And of course, my dad, you're not asking him the right question. I said, hello, we're asking the same question to all the students. Oh, no, 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 no. You bring that boy to my office and you sit there and you write the score. Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah. Sam, answer is yes. Do you believe in the virgin birth of Christ? Yes. Yes. You read the Bible every day? Yes. Test is over. I looked at dad and said, you're kidding. He said, yeah. Son, I'm not here to produce smart students. I'm here to produce students who love the Lord. There went my Greek and Hebrew that I took in Bible college. We buried that information. He stole Bibles from our Bible college and he sold them for recycling. He sold our magazine for recycling. I'll never forget bringing him to my father. I tell you what, the reason I'm sharing this, I was the prodigal brother. Hey, Dad, here's the boy who passed your test. He recycled all the Bibles we had in bookstore. My dad looked at him and says, you did? Would you do that again? No, sir. Forgiven. So I knew it didn't matter what I was bringing against him. Father had a tender heart towards him. So I said to him one day, I said, this is the third year in Bible college. G.S. Mung will not graduate. And I had 11 other professors with me. They all said he will not graduate. One was Trevor, one was Jason, and many other professors. They were on my side. And we had solid point. And my father, he said, son, I want you to graduate. Because you believe in the Lord, you believe in his virgin birth, you believe in his forgiveness. We graduated him. He went back to Burma. He was put in prison for his witness for 21 months. Never heard from him. Then I finally get to hear from him last year. He has established 29 churches. I'm going to dedicate one of the churches in November of 2015. Do you want God to give you what you deserve? Or do you want God to give you according to his grace and mercy? Are you going to be one standing outside with bitterness? Or are you going to be the one standing inside, welcoming and forgiving those who have gone away from the Lord? Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many of you will say, Lord, I'm so thankful today that I understand your love. You do not love us because of our merit. You love us because you chose to love us. We don't deserve your kindness. We don't deserve your attention. But we are here today because of your grace. Lord, remove the root of bitterness from my life. Create in me a new heart. Lord, more than anything else, I don't want any inheritance. I want your fellowship. And once I get the fellowship, I know then inheritance is mine. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, are you serving Christ because you have been a good person? You're a great person. You don't steal. You don't lie. You're very honest. Is that why you serve him? But there's no difference between you and the older brother. Or do you serve him because of his unmerited love? Unmerited grace that he has given to you. Friends, you and I don't deserve his love. But thank God he continues to save us. I don't want you to make a decision or raise your hands. You heard the word of God today. I leave that decision to you. Which one are you? Are you the younger brother? Or are you the older brother? Regardless of who you are, the good news is Father loves you. Father comes after you. He wants to bring you inside the house. Father, I thank you for your word and its power. Thank you for Pastor John, his leadership in this church. I thank you, Lord, for this church, how they have been faithful in missions. I pray that you would bless them beyond measure. Thank you for your word today. Lord, help me to be satisfied just with your presence. The promise that you're with me, and all that is yours is mine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, Dr. Sam, thank you. If you stand here for one moment, one thing we do at our church often, as people are sent out, we gather around and pray. And we still want to, can we do that for you this morning? So, church, come. Let's gather together. If you're part of this church, you can stand up and come with us. Let's pray over him. I know he has roads before him, challenges before him, and we pray the Lord's blessing on Dr. Sam. Let's voice that. Father, we come to you and we thank you for your love. Father, that we don't deserve your love, even as we heard, but we are thankful for it. And Father, as we come under what Jesus said, use my name. So we use the name of Jesus Christ and ask your continued blessing on Dr. Sam, Father. Pray you give the strength of his body. Empower him for everything he needs to do in front of him, Father. Give him the health that he asks for. Father, we pray for his continued ministry, that you would go before him, he would follow. And be with him the days you have in front of him and all that we have. Father, we bless your name, Lord Jesus, and we give you honor in all that you do. And we love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We do appreciate you sharing with us this morning. Praise God. As you kind of settle around back in, a couple items. Obviously, if the Lord has called your heart, we want to make sure you know. So if you have a question, what is this Jesus? Who is Jesus? What is this thing? We'll come. No. So as we dismiss, John will be up, I'll be up. We'll ask you that you come and we'd love to share the love of Jesus, and tell you more if you have more questions. So come and do that. One other thing next week. For the last few years, Dr. Wheeler and I have been in prayer over the eldership of our church. And probably 2.5 years ago, the Lord started revealing that we need to do something that we're a little slow. 2.5 years later, the Lord, actually just a couple weeks ago, the Lord said, it is time. So next week, as a fellowship, we will spend our time together installing 2 new elders of our church. So I want you to pray for that. Look forward to that. We'll have our time together. We're going to have a baptism. We're going to have Lord's Supper. And we're going to install 2 new elders. And you ask, who are the 2 new elders? Can you wait? No. No. So the Lord has set aside Dr. Chuck Lentz. The Lord has set aside Dwayne Banner, who have been faithful in this church and actively have been modeling the role of an elder. So the Lord is going to set them aside. So you be in prayer for them. You know, as soon as you set someone up, you know this, brother. As soon as you say this person's doing something for God, the devil comes against you. So you be in prayer for these 2 men, for what the Lord has in front of them. And I encourage you to be in prayer for all of us. And we would do that, and may the Lord go with you as you go catch your plane. I know you probably have to take off for pretty soon, but again, John and I will be up front. We'd love to share with you the love of Jesus Christ. You're dismissed. Thank you.